Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the General Manager of the General Service Office in New York and Chair of tonight's meeting, Phyllis H.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Phyllis, and I am an alcoholic and General Manager of the General Service Office and U.S. and Canada structure. It is my great privilege to chair the long-timers meeting tonight. For the purpose of this meeting, thank you. Thank you, Greg. For the purpose of this meeting, the old-timers who will share tonight have 50 or more years of sobriety. Since Wednesday, these AA members have been signing up to participate in this meeting. We have over 100 wonderful old-timers with us here tonight. That adds up to more than 5,808 years of sobriety. That's a lot. Their sobriety dates range between 1950 and 1965. Now that's what we call a power of example. Yeah. But before we get to the meeting, how about a sobriety count-up? Okay. And to help with this, I've asked my friend Larry N. to help us get things started. Please help me welcome Larry.
Hi, my name is Larry, and I'm an alcoholic. And I'm delighted to be here tonight to help Phyllis. Are we ready? Let's begin. Will all AA members please stand? We are going to go from the youngest in sobriety to the members with the longest time. Now, all of those with 1 year or less of sobriety, please be seated. Or less, please be seated. Three years or less, please be seated. Four years or less. Please be seated. Five years of sobriety or less. Six years or less. 7 years or less. Years or less. Nine years or less. 10 years of sobriety or less. Years or less. 12 years or less. 13 years or less. 14 years or less. 15 years of sobriety or less. 16 years or less. 17 years or less. 18 years or less. 19 years or less. 20 years of sobriety or less. 21 years or less. 22 years or less. 23 years or less. 24 years or less. 25 years of sobriety or less. 26 years or less. 27 years or less. 28 years or less. 29 years or less. 30 years of sobriety or less. 31 years. 32 years or less. 33 years or less. 34 years or less. 35 years or less. 36 years or less. 37 years or less. Thirty-nine years or less. 40 years of sobriety or less. Forty-one years or less. 42 years or less. 43 years or less. 44 years or less. 45 years of sobriety or less. 46 years or less. 47 years or less. 48 years or less. 49 years or less. 50 years of sobriety or less. 51 years or less. 52 years or less. 53 years or less. 54 years or less. 55 years of sobriety or less. 56 years or less. 57 years or less. 58 years or less. 59 years of sobriety or less. 60 years of sobriety or less. 61 years or less. 62 years or less. 63 years or less. 64 years or less. 65 years of sobriety or less. Let's give our old-timers a big hand. Is there someone with more than 65 years of sobriety? How many years? 66 years of sobriety.
Thank you, Larry. 66. Okay, now will everyone please join me in opening our AA meeting tonight with a moment of silence. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. And our anonymity statement. There may be some here who are not familiar with our tradition of personal anonymity at the public level. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio tapes and in published or broadcast reports of our meetings, including those reports on the Internet. The assurance of anonymity is essential in our efforts to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share our recovery program with us. And our tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles come before personalities. A further note about anonymity. Out of respect for others, please do not take photographs or videos during any of the meetings at the International Convention. Also, be considerate when taking photographs around convention venues. Take care that you do not capture images of AA members, family members, and friends who did not give their permission and may not wish to appear in your pictures. Even if you have permission to take photos or videos, our traditions guide us not to post any content that identifies AA members as such on websites accessible to the public, or to share it on public accessible social media or social networking platforms, apps, or websites. Okay, let's get started with the meeting. Okay? There will be 12 old-timers who will be sharing with us tonight. Okay? We're going to call up all 12 at once. They will be seated on the stage to my left, and then we will begin with a sharing. But first, please welcome Sandy H. and Kevin D. They will be helping tonight by drawing names from this big Georgia peach to my right and passing them to me. That is our hat tonight. Welcome. So when you hear your name called, please come forward with the host committee member who will escort you onto the stage. Begin to draw? Okay, our first speaker will be Bill B. from Mesa, Arizona, at 55 years. Okay, the second speaker with 50 years is Bob C. from Atlanta, Georgia. Our next speaker, from Newberry, South Carolina, with 53 years, George B. Okay, they're coming up to the stage. Good. And our fourth speaker, from St. Paul, Minnesota, with 50 years, Francis C. Francis. Okay, the fifth speaker from Tullahoma, Tennessee, with 59 years, Tom K. And from St. Louis, Missouri, 62 years, Sis G. Next speaker will be Hal D., Largo, Florida, 51 years. And speaker number 8, Johnny C., Cypress, Texas, 53 years. The ninth speaker from Medford, Oregon, with 55 years, Otto W. Okay. Speaker number 10, Mel B., Toledo, Ohio. Mel has 65 years. Okay, we're getting to 11. George C. from Hayward, California, 52 years. Okay, speaker number 12, from Rochester, Minnesota, with 53 years, Pete G. Okay, they're waiting. We're waiting for them to come up to the dais. And when we do, let's be sure to thank Kevin and Sandy for their help tonight.
Yes, you can sit down.
I see everyone is seated. So we can begin. And let's start with Bill B. from Mesa, Arizona, 55 years. Bill.
I am Bill Butler, and I am an alcoholic. You know, I don't know how my short-term memory can be so bad, and yet I can remember things 50 years ago. In fact, I can remember the last time that I drank. It was through the middle of the week, and I got home about 2 in the morning. Went to bed for a couple hours. I got up, and I was getting dressed to go to work. And my wife informed me that when I get home from work that day, that she and the girls won't be there because she is starting divorce proceedings. And I remember she said, "I am not living this way any longer." And boy, it was like getting punched in the stomach. And I sat down, and finally I said to her, "Honey, if you will call Alcoholics Anonymous and they will come out to the house, I will talk with them." So I got home that day, and she told me that there was a couple coming out of the house. And they came out. We went through, I guess, three or four pots of coffee, probably 2 or 3 packs of cigarettes. And I told him about my drunk driving, and he told me about his drunk flying. So he got my attention in a hurry. The next night, he picked me up and took me to my first AA meeting. That was June 15th, 1960. And the rest is history. I come from a very, very alcoholic family. My dad was alcoholic. 3 of my 5 sisters were alcoholic. I'm alcoholic. My 3 kids are alcoholic. I have lost a sister and a daughter directly due to alcohol. So alcohol and I certainly are not strangers. You know, as a kid, I think I actually developed a hatred for my dad because of his drinking. Our family was in such a turmoil, and we could never, ever plan anything because you never knew when Dad was coming home drunk. And when he wasn't drinking, we would have long talks. And I would say, "Dad, why can't you quit drinking? You're just ruining this family. Look what you're doing to Mom." But Dad never did quit. But then years later, when I came into AA, I learned a few things. I find out, hey, there's a disease that goes along with all of this. No wonder my dad couldn't quit drinking. No wonder I couldn't quit drinking. No wonder you guys couldn't quit drinking. You know, and after I learned that, I felt entirely different toward my dad. Love you, Dad. AA is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I love each and every one of you out there. My time is up.
Okay. That's wonderful. And now I just want to mention something that I hadn't before. Each speaker, as I said, would have 5 minutes, and then we'll see just a gentle reminder that we'll see on the screen to help the people that has spoken to get down, and the next person can share. Okay. And now, I'd like to invite Bob C. from Atlanta, Georgia, with 50 years to speak. Bob.
Hi, buddy. I'm Bob, and I'm an alcoholic. When I was a young man, I served in the 82nd Airborne Division, and we had a motto. Jumpin' Jim Gavin gave me my wings, and they called us the All-American, and they had an AA on our hat. I think God was trying to tell me something a long time ago. Anyhow, the only time I ever turned down a drink was on a flight to Texas, and the flight attendant came up and said, what would you like? And I said, I like scotch on the rocks. And she bought the drink, and she asked the man next to me, what would you like to drink? And he said, I would rather be caught with 10 prostitutes than let liquor touch my lips. And I handed her my drink back and said, I didn't know we had a choice. Anyhow, I lost my tag. I left it home, so I had to get another one. And instead of Atlanta, it says West Hollywood, California. And so most of you saw me come in here with Lainey, the young lady that was with me. And I said, hey, I'll leave it the way it is. They'll think I'm a Hollywood producer with her next to me. But anyhow, my sobriety date is the 20th anniversary of Pearl Harbor, which was December 7th, 1964, and that's the last time I got bombed. My home group was trying to warn the whole place here. And they sent me a message. They said, get to the point and keep it short. So I've got, I think, 3 minutes. But anyhow, I grew up in New York, and by the time I was 15... I was from Long Island, but I worked in the city. Wow. And by the time I started drinking when I was 13, by the time I was 15, I knew most of the gin mills in Manhattan and the five boroughs. And my drinking kept progressing and progressing. And then after I got out of the military, I know when I was in school, I went to the Merchant Marine Academy, and they were taking out a panel because some guy had built a still. And they said, this cadet got thrown out of the academy, and if we see you doing that, you're going too. So I thought, well, there goes that idea. So I joined the sailing club, and we would go over to City Island Yacht Club and get drunk over there because they needed somebody to crew their boats in the Bermuda races, and they always came and grabbed up the cadets. But an alcoholic will find a way to get drunk. I remember one night we were coming back, and we were three sheets to the wind, and we didn't have running lights on, and we came by the lighthouse, and the guy said, you need to have running lights. And we said, we're cadet midshipmen. We know about running lights. And I looked towards Manhattan, and it looked like the skyline was coming out of the water, and it was a conning tower of a submarine surfacing on Long Island Sound, and it was coming right at us. You never saw so many people sober up in a hurry in your life. But anyway, I came to Atlanta, and these counties, every county was dry except Fulton County, the one we're in now. I got so desperate for a drink. I mean, we'd say, we have to make a run to the river, which means you cross the Chattahoochee to get to a liquor store in Atlanta and drink. And it got so bad that I started brewing my own, and that stuff was so horrible, you had to be drunk to drink it. And at any rate, my drinking progressed. When I lived in the city, I'd get drunk, and some girl would say, I think I'll go home with you. And I'd say, that's not a good idea. I'm married. And after a few shooters, I'm not proud of this, but after a few shooters, I would say, I'm going home. And they'd say, well, I'm going with you. And I'd introduce them to my first wife, who's now my ex-wife. I didn't do anything. Anyhow, I've been married. I've been married longer than most of you people in this room, just not to the same woman. It's so contagious. I was sitting in the Omni in the mezzanine, and a couple came in and got married. And my friend said, it's so contagious. All a woman has to do is walk in the room and she gets married, you know. So, but anyhow, my drinking.
We're out of time. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize the 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, thank you to Bob. Okay? Yes. Okay, next we'll hear from George B. from Newberry, South Carolina, with 53 years. And again, the applause sign will go up in 5 minutes. So thank you.
before I introduce myself, I would like to give a little bit of an incident that happened to me, or that I observed. I had been in the program approximately a year. I had heard many, many people say, you know, you got to do this, you got to do that. Your sponsor's got to be older than you. And I'll submit to you that most of us probably don't have active sponsors that are on this. It's hard to find people over 50 years to be your sponsor. I was in Davenport, Iowa, at the Blandine Club. A police officer brought a man up that had obviously been partying all night the night before, pushed him in the door, and said, "Here, maybe these people can do something with you. It's certainly that we haven't been able to." The guy started going around. There were probably 10 of us in the club at that time. Started going around to everybody. "How long since you had a drink?" "3 days." "How long since you had a drink?" "5 years." "How long since you had a drink?" "11 years. "How long since you had a drink?" "4 months. One guy sitting back by the fire escape, like this, table by the chair, and he's shaking, he's coming down. This was a guy that had been relapsing periodically for years. The guy walked up to him and said, "How long since you had a drink?" And Bud said, "5 days is a bitch." He said, "5 days? 5 whole days? How the hell do you do it?" He pulled the chair up and sat down. I left Davenport, Iowa to go back on active duty in the military in 1977. Both of those people were still sober. And the reason I say that, or the reason I share this story, my sobriety did not depend on somebody with a lot more sobriety than I had. My sobriety depended on me being willing to work a program with somebody that would understand me and help me. And now that that's all said, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is George Burke. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is the 15th of January of 1962. I have a photograph of myself in my stack of photographs, I guess you'd call it, when I was 3 years old in a sailor suit. And that was my dream at that time and up until I was 17, to be a drunken sailor. I succeeded. Boy, did I succeed. At 17 years of age, I quit high school, joined the Navy, and began to see the world. I've seen a lot of the world. A lot of it I didn't see that I should have been able to, but I was drunk. I drank my way out of the Navy. I had a lot of trouble with alcohol. I didn't get into trouble every time I drank, but every time I got in trouble, I had been drinking. And I had some people who were noticing that. And at the end of my first enlistment, they decided that I probably should not re-enlist at that time. I spent my 21st birthday in VA hospital in Iowa City, Iowa, with bad liver. Doctors told me, "You keep drinking, you're going to be dead within 6 months." I keep talking, I'm going to be dead in 5 seconds, so. I would like to leave you with this. When I walk into a club room or any establishment that has people working sobriety, I try to imagine something. You imagine here with 60,000 people, 60,000 alcoholics in here, what a chaos this would be if we were all drunk. They'd be cussing and cutting and shooting and shouting and battling, and the next day we wouldn't remember anything about it. This fellowship's been very good to me. I will leave you with this. If the only thing I would have gotten out of Alcoholics Anonymous is not drinking, I would not have stuck around. This is a way of life, a godly way of life, and I thank God for Bill Wilson and Bob. God bless you all.
Thank you, George. Okay, thank you to George. And now let's welcome Francis C., St. Paul, Minnesota, 50 years.
My name is Francis, and I am an alcoholic. And being up here tonight is the good news and the bad news. The good news is that I can have been picked to be up here, and the fact, because I'm so introverted and shy, it's very difficult for me to talk. Now, my wife will not believe that, but that's really the truth. So I'm going to carry this message as best that I can, and first of all, tell you, if you read any studies that say introverted and shy people can't get sober in AA, that's false. And I'm one of them. I've been doing it for 50 years, and I still have difficulty talking to a group who loves me and who I love them. Being up here tonight goes back to a story that happened to me 10 years ago in Toronto. We went to the International Convention that year. It was a wonderful deal, and Connie and I were walking in, and she saw this sign that said, Old Timers Please Register. And she said, well, why don't you go register? And I said, what is it? And she said, well, I don't know. And I said, well, go register for me. So she came back, and we found out that we got special seats up in the front. And I thought, boy, this is a nice organization. When you get old, they promote you, and they put you up in the front, and the corporations throw you out the back window. So it was my kind of organization until I was standing there and I was informed that I was going to have to get up here and make a presentation. And I thought, what have I got myself into? And I started doing what I usually do when I get in trouble, is I tapped into my higher power. And I said, obviously, it's meant that I be here tonight. And so there's two parts to it. One, you have to take care of the results. And two, I will do the footwork. And if you do that, I'll do my thing. But, as I usually but, if you know of some other young guy that would like to do it and could do a much better job at it, it will not hurt my feelings. So he went to work, and one of the speakers, I don't know if you were here 10 years ago, came up after three or four really very, very good speakers, and they introduced him, and he stood up here, and he was froze. When he was supposed to introduce himself, he couldn't say a word. He couldn't say a word. And it was getting longer and longer between the pause. People were getting uncomfortable, and somebody started out saying, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? And he said his name, whatever it was, I can't remember. And he got an ovation. Clapped. People clapped him for getting up and facing him. The courage deal he had. And then he paused again, and he wouldn't talk. He couldn't talk, and said, where are you from? And he said, I'm from a farmer from Manitoba, Canada. And again, the applause ran. But he stood up again and he paused. And pretty soon, one of the managers came over to him and whispered something, and he went like this. No, no, no. I'm staying in this position until I get it right. Another standing ovation. Unbelievable. It went on for minutes. And then finally, he was asked, he said finally he had went through assignments, 5 minutes, and it just, to all of us that were there, a lesson of courage. You know, just hang in there, you suit up and you show up and you do what you needed to do. Now, he got more applause than any other speaker, and I remember the things that he said because I changed my life as a result of them and went back a new person. And he went back to the farm in Canada, and I don't know where he is now, but I want to say that in honor of that man who probably gave 40,000 people a new view of what it costs to be, or what it takes to be grateful and courageous. You know, you'd think he'd quit, but he didn't quit. He got halfway on the stairs, and he came back up here again. He looked around, and he said, I didn't do very well tonight, but I'll be back. You know, so people ask me why I go to AA after all these years, and I go for a couple of reasons. As we all know, one, Bill W. said that we had to pass it on. With all the thanks that he got, Bill would always respond by pass it on. And passing it on is part of my recovery. And then I also learn a lot of things, like how to be courageous when I've forgotten them over the years. So I always seem to learn something that I need to refresh or seem to know when I go to a meeting, and that's why I go. So that's the first part of my presentation, and I hope my old Manitoba friend is keeping well and is happy that I'm doing this up there. He may not know. Then secondly, the short time I have left, I heard a lot about gratitude today. And the gratitude has been a part of my program since I sobered up. One of the first things that my sponsor told me was that he never saw a grateful alcoholic take a drink. And that was his view, and it was my view. And I've tried to stay grateful, and I haven't had another drink. So gratitude is my answer. And then the gratitude that I have, very briefly, for the people that helped me get here to where I'm at tonight, my mother and father, my lovely Irish immigrant parents who came here to start a new life, named me Francis after St. Francis, wanted me to go to the best schools, and I turned out to be the biggest drunk. And that was very disappointing to them. But they hung up in with me. They never changed. They were always there. And for them, I wouldn't have been here otherwise. The other is I have a teacher in high school, Brother Anthony. It was a very difficult high school. It was a private school. I didn't want to be there. My parents wanted me there. And they got together with Brother Anthony. And between the two of them, I graduated from that high school. Out of 198 candidates graduated. Thank you very much for having me. Good night.
Thank you, Francis. Okay, with enthusiasm, let's invite Tom Kay from Tullahoma, Tennessee, with 59 years.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Tom Kirkpatrick, and I am an alcoholic. My home group is Drop the Rock Group in Tullahoma, Tennessee, and it is a good group. And I am there every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. I came into AA in Des Plaines, Illinois. Des Plaines Group 2. In August 1955, and I've had continuous sobriety since that date. If I may take this opportunity, I would like to kind of talk to the brand new members and tell them a few things, or just a couple of things, of what happened to me and about this program. I came in here for one reason, to get sober, but I got so much more. Just loaded on me. I really believe that if you are working this program and doing the right things, that God puts opportunities in your path. Whether you take advantage of those opportunities or not is on you, not on God. But let me tell you just a couple of things that happened to me. I want you to know that good things besides sobriety happens. When I came in, I'm a hillbilly from East Tennessee. When I came into AA, lost my thought, but I'll get it back. When I came into AA, it was for one purpose, sobriety, you know, but I got a lot more. I had an eighth grade education when I came into AA. 20 years later, as an active member of this program, the Ohio State University, bestowed upon me the degree Doctor of Philosophy, PhD. From eighth grade to PhD. Thank you, AA. After that, I was for a number of years a professor in a major state university. Eight of those years were as department chairman. Thank you, AA. After that, two or three years after that, I was a regent on the board of community and of university and community college of that state. We oversaw all of the education, higher education in that state. We're responsible for it. Financing, budgeting, all that stuff. I did that for 6 years without pay. It was public service, pure public service. I am grateful that I had that opportunity. Thank you, AA. Young folks, things like that are better things can happen to you if you just put your nose to the grindstone. I would like to take one moment to talk about just two things that are very important to me. Number one, I had the most wonderful woman in the world as a wife. We were married 62 years, almost 63. And she was my biggest AA booster and my biggest supporter in every endeavor I ever undertook. Let me tell you what AA gave her, that wonderful woman. AA gave that woman a sober husband for 57 years. Thank you, AA. The last thing I would like to mention is this program of Alcoholics Anonymous, the Fellowship, and Al-Anon. We started out with two. Then we had tens and hundreds and thousands and millions, and they're all over the world. And in my lifetime, folks, I have had the rare privilege and great opportunity to stand on the backs of giants. And I'm standing on them right now. And so is every other alcoholic in this room. My time is up. I want to thank each and every one of you for my sobriety. God bless you.
Thank you, Tom. And next we'll hear from Sis G, St. Louis, Missouri, 62 years. Where's the clock?
Good.
Okay. Hi, everyone. My name is Sis G, and I am an alcoholic. Also, I don't know if you've noticed it, but I'm the only woman up here. My dry date is October 14th, 1952. Now, there's only one thing wrong with that. That is that I had to get to be 90 years old before I hit it. But we can learn to live with that. I'm still walking, not easily, but I'm still walking. Anyway, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous in Evanston, Illinois. There were very few women in the fellowship at that time, and I had a sponsor. He became my sponsor, who was my uncle. He had been sober 10 years when I came into AA, and he came to see me on the first call, and he was magnificent. I don't know what he said, but he was magnificent. He said, "Sis, we have an unwritten rule in AA, and that is that a man sponsors a man, a woman sponsors a woman, so I'll get a woman over here tomorrow and you have a sponsor." You know, he could not find a woman. These are all planned. They're all figured out before we come into the fellowship. So Dick D became my sponsor, and he was one tough guy. I went to a meeting every day for 3 years, and what he told me to do, I do. I loaned a guy. We went to lunch every Saturday, about 20 of us, and I loaned him $5 because he had no money. And I told Dick, I said, "I loaned him." He said, "You go over and you get the change right now." But he was right. He was right. My life has been, ever since I stopped drinking, one miracle after another. I had been, when I came into the program at age 22, I was divorced. Now, they like that. I was also a Catholic, and that's against their rules. So I was single for 5 years. I went to a giant meeting at the Georgian Hotel in Evanston. I'm sure some of you here know it. And I said to the gal next to me, I said, "You see that tall redhead over there? I'm going to marry him." It was as clear as a bell to me. And she said, "Sis, you don't even know him." I said, "That's okay. I'll get him over in the corner. We'll become acquainted." That's the way it works, I'll tell you. Well, that very night, for some reason, he asked me to go to a movie the next day, shortly after we were married. Now, he became sober in 1947, so he had 5 years when I came in. And I said, "I'm sorry, Varney." His name was Varney.
Barney, we'll never have any children, because when I was married to Tom, I went to a gynecologist. He said, I'm sorry, you'll never have a child. Guess what happened 10 and a half months after we got married? My son was born. Then, 15 months later, my daughter, who is here tonight. Only as a helper to me, but she's here. And then 15 months after she was born, another daughter was born. And Barney said, I want to tell you something. Now that we know what's causing this, we're cutting it out. So I only had three children, but he was a little older than I. Yeah, actually 15 years, but he was a smoker, and I know some in this room still are. But that'll kill you, and it did. It did. Right. Oh. All righty. Three zeros mean duh. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I need help.
Don't you wish we could be here all night? Okay, thank you, sis. Now let's hear from Hal D. from Largo, Florida, 51 years.
I can't even do this right. My name is Otto, and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is August the 20th, 1959. My home group is the Southern Oregon Dog on the Roof group. And I think this is fantastic because I'm up here and Clancy's down there. In March of 1956, I was in Ward N11 of the Veterans Hospital in Long Beach. That was the lock ward. I called it the parlor for the peculiar. A new psychiatrist that they had came up and said, Otto, I want to talk to you. And I thought, and abuse again. He said, I'm going to have a couple of guys come in from Alcoholics Anonymous, and I want you to talk to them. And what I thought was, my God, it's come to this. Jesus. Shall we gather by the river? I was almost right. What the hell, you know? However, they had something I wanted, and I was willing to go to any length to get it, and that was matches. They used to shut our fire off in the nut house at 9 o'clock at night, and they wouldn't light any cigarettes until the morning. And if we got a hold of some matches, all the drunks went in the head. Of course, we were full of drunks in the Veterans Hospital, still are. And so my motives in going to my first AA meeting was to get matches. I don't know what yours was. And two guys came in and they locked us in a room together. Little Jack had 5 years, and Bob was a big man and he had 1 year. And I believed them because they looked it. They were doing well with life, and I was I was just off Skid Row. And so I knew that they had a hold of something. And so when I got out, that was in March, I got out in May. And I started going to these meetings. And I continued to drink for 3 more years off and on. But they said, keep coming back. I'll never forget one time I was at the hole in the ground. And I was drunk. And they had the old chairs, the metal chairs. And I was so drunk I fell off of one of them on the floor. 2 guys came over to me, picked me up, and put me back in the chair again. And as they walked away, one of them patted me on the shoulder. And he said, keep coming back. You'll make this son of a bitch yet. I never forgot that. I never forgot that act of kindness. I hope we continue to be kind to the people still out there drinking. I drank until the morning of August the 19th. That's when I had, I hope, my last drink. The following Sunday, I went to the Compton Sunday Night Group, and I met the people that were to save my life. Little Whitey and Tex and Gus and Jack Underwood and those guys, they literally saved my life. Little Whitey sat with me night after night, and we read the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we did exactly what it said because we were afraid not to. We didn't want to drink again, and I never want to drink again. I want you to know how much I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I have from the very beginning. I love the people in it. I get criticized for that sometimes. But I love the people in Alcoholics Anonymous. How could I not? I've had a marvelous life for almost 56 years now. And because of you. You know, I just lost a wife not too long ago, about a year and a half ago. And we were together a long time in this program together. And you helped me through that, and it was a tough time. And so I'm most grateful. I live in gratitude all the time. You know, I get up early in the morning. I'm one of those weirdos that gets up at 5 in the morning. And I go out and I sit with my dog out in my patio, and that's when I do my prayer and meditation. And the other day I was thinking about the marvelous people in my life. Jesus, I am so fortunate. I have some of them with me here tonight. I have some marvelous people who love me, you know, and I love them. So if you're new, for God's sake, keep coming back. No matter what happens, keep coming back. And I'll guarantee you.
Okay, thank you, Otto. And next we'll hear from Hal D. from Largo, Florida, 51 years. Hal.
My name's Johnny C. I am an alcoholic. But for the grace of God, I've been sober since May 22, 1962, by experiencing the steps called Alcoholics Anonymous and associating with the finest people on earth, you. In our beloved big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says, talk about what it was, what happened, what it's like. Now I'm going to tell you what it's like right now. Right now, I'm the gun prospector that our beloved big book of Alcoholics Anonymous talks about. I have found the mother lode. I'm in it. All of you have impacted me, moved me, and touched me today. I'm an American Mexican, and I love it. I'm a Latino. I'm the father of 14 children, 50 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. I sobered up, and then it happened. I was 15 years old. I joined up with the Army, and I was sent to Louisiana, Camp Polk, Louisiana. That's the first time I ever got drunk. Camp Polk, Louisiana. I saw a bunch of blonde-headed people, red-headed people, blue-eyed people. I was the only one that had black hair, and they talked strange, you all. Oh, man, I get the giggles when I'm with you. Hallelujah. Oh, man, our beloved big book of Alcoholics Anonymous says we're not a glum lot. I got drunk the first time in Leesville, Louisiana. I drank 2 Falstaffs, and it made me feel good. I was 15 years old. I drank 3, and something started happening. I drank 5, and then I knew something was happening. Then I drank 8 Falstaff beers, and I became Italian. Then I got sent to Tokyo, Japan. I was supposed to go to Ethiopia. I volunteered for 3 years. I was supposed to go to Germany. I got the first resentment against the U.S. Army. I was supposed to go to Germany, and they sent me to Japan. And when I got to Japan, I had a nice, big, fat resentment. When I saw the people, I didn't like them. Everything stunk to high heaven. And I'd been there 6 months, and then the girls started looking Mexican. And I'd been drinking ethyl alcohol at 190 proof and popping those Benzedrine tablets. And then I got to talking Spanish to the Japanese. And then I wound up in a straitjacket at the age of 17. And a kindly doctor came along the following day. He says, young man, you're the type of person that can't drink. You shouldn't drink so much. You go across the street there, they're going to have some kind of meeting. This was 1947. They were telling me to go AA to AA. I was 17 years old. And then for the next 18 years, I drank alcoholically. And finally, I got to the point where I couldn't get drunk. I couldn't get sober, and I couldn't sleep. And in a bar after I went to AA for about 10 months, and I had a slip. And that's another story. I know that my time's already up, and I'm going to use my integrity that all of you have used me. But I have to name the Cypress Group in Texas. I'm from Texas. Texas! And I'm going to cut it short because I respect my elders, and I still follow the directions. After I'm 84 years old, my hair is still black, and I'm still good looking.
you. And that was Johnny C. from Cypress, Texas. As you may have remembered, we have introduced Hal three times now. It wouldn't be an AA meeting if something didn't go a little wrong, so we were out of order here for a little bit, but now here's Hal. Okay, from Largo, Florida, 51 years.
Okay, you have 5 minutes. See the clock on the
floor. Oh, thank you. Well, I hope I have half as much fun up here as that last speaker. My name is Hal Dickey, and as we say down in Largo, Florida, I'm an alcoholic of long standing. It was never my intention to be an alcoholic, but the way things turned out, it's okay with me. And I tell you, I'm just totally overwhelmed by the privilege of standing before this August group here today. Although it isn't August, is it? That's part of my trouble. I get these dates mixed up. Anyhow, as I think was mentioned earlier during the day's activities, I have 51 years of sobriety. And if I never have another accomplishment in my life that I can point to with pride, I can point to that. I came to AA in total defeat in my life, which at the time was back in New York City. And I'd gone out there as a very successful young marketing guy, and alcoholism interfered rather greatly with plans that I had, and just smacked my ass to the sidewalks of New York. And I kid you not, I found myself, you know, wandering around on the streets of the Upper West Side, neglecting to have all of my clothes on. And if you want to really get excited about something, be in the doorway of a 20-story New York apartment building when the door goes click, click, and you don't have any pants on. And I was literally out there trying to climb the walls. And this lady that was in part responsible for my delirium came running out with an immense house coat and wrapped me up in it. And the two of us went back into her building, and to the astonished doorman, she says, "He's sick." And she wasn't lying. But anyhow, after that, I was so ashamed. My bringing up had in no way indicated I was going to be that kind of a guy. And I was so ashamed that I decided, I'm going to go leave New York and go back to the Midwest. And I did, and I looked around for a job that would take me out of the excitement and the culture of New York. And I ended up in a place called St. Joseph, Missouri, if you can believe that. And people asked me about St. Joe, and I told them, it's not the end of the world, but by God, you can see it from there. And then as it turned out, like about 2 or 3 years later, I was thinking, was I ever lucky to land in this place? because those people helped me find AA and helped me find a higher power and helped me find sobriety. And it's lasted all these years because I was willing to get on my knees and ask a higher power for help in getting through each day without yielding to the temptations of taking a drink. And it's been a damn good life, I tell you. And I'm just a... Wow! You got me.
Okay, thank you, Hal. Some of you may know that today, being 4th of July, we have fireworks going on outside. And so we really can't stop that. We can't go out. So let's bring it in. How about that? Okay. So if we all stay in our seats, then it's going to be about 30 seconds away, and then we'll get back to our meeting. So please enjoy the fireworks.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be seated and remain in the stadium. Our meeting will continue after the Independence Day fireworks celebration, which will begin in just a few moments. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you're enjoying your evening so far, but it is nowhere near over. Please remain inside the stadium and in your seats as you enjoy the 4th of July celebration, after which our meeting will continue. Thank you.
Next Saturday.
Georgia, my Georgia, the whole day through, you're just an old sweet song that keeps Georgia on my mind. No peace will I find. You're just an old sweet soul, like moonlight through the pines. All the wrongs they may reach out to me, and all the rights smile. Still in my peaceful dreams, I see the road that road leads straight on back to you. Yeah, yeah, Georgia, you're my Georgia. The whole you're just an old sweet song. You're my Georgia on my mind. Come on, baby.
We're not seeing it to the end, but I think we got a sample of the fireworks going on outside. And now let's continue with the show, okay? And let's invite Mel B. with Toledo, Ohio, with 65 years. Mel.
Hi, I'm Mel Barker, an alcoholic. And boy, this is really something to be here. I was back here in Atlanta back in 1864 with Sherman. But it wasn't on very good terms then. You know, one of the things, I'm kind of a historian of AA. And Bill Wilson believed in reincarnation. And I don't, but I do, did in a previous life. And my sobriety date is April 15th, 1950. And I'm from Nebraska, and I had wound up, I had wound up back in my hometown, leeching off my mother and stepdad, and I wound up in the state hospital there, which was on a hill overlooking my hometown. And I had been fooling around with AA for a year and a half. I was only 25, but I was already pretty much down the tube. And I wound up in the state hospital. My last drink was a bottle of Pabst Blue Ribbon. And I see those folks are still in business. A neighbor lady came over, and she talked me into going out to the state hospital. And I did. And then when I wound up there, I just found it was terrible to that my life had become this way. But I got back into AA while I was there, and I've stayed ever since. But I went to my first meetings before that. I went to my first meeting in Santa Paula, California, and went to meetings out there in Santa Paula, Oxnard, Santa Barbara, and at first I thought I had really found the answer. I stayed sober 5 or 6 months, and the second and third members of AA I met were from Akron, and I guess I must have thought I had a maid or something, but I did go back to drinking. And when I wound up in the state hospital, I could look back and see that the only real sobriety I'd had was that first 5 or 6 months in AA. But the program has worked for me. The one thing AA taught me in the beginning, I read the big book right away, and the alcoholism was defined as an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. That's in the big book. And in a way that sounded like a cop-out, that you wound up with a drinking problem, and it was just your allergy of the body that had caused that. Well, I think that's one thing we come to accept. Maybe we don't call it an allergy, but we believe there's some physical susceptibility, that the alcoholic gets something out of alcohol that the ordinary drinker doesn't get. And even no matter how long we stay sober, that's there. One of the first things I heard was that alcoholism was a lot like diabetes. You never get over the problem, you just arrest it. And I had to go back out, but then I got back in, and I've stayed ever since. And it's been a wonderful trip. I became a writer. I always wanted to be a writer. I read a lot of books and stuff like that. And I became a writer for AA. In some ways, I wrote 75 articles for the Grapevine. And I also was one of the authors of Bill Wilson's biography, which is Pass It On. And then I've got some books of my own, and I'll be outside the door selling them once you get out of here. But one of the great things that, in my AA experience, is I did get to know Bill Wilson. And I worked down in New York for a while, got to the point where I could just drop in once in a while at General Service offices. And if Bill was there, he was very accessible. You could just walk into his office and chat with him. He was very, Bill, I think of Bill as being a very kind man, the sort of person who would feel bad if he hurt you in any way. He probably wouldn't take advantage of anybody. I think if he walked on your grass, he would ask your permission first. That was one time I walked in. I stopped there, and Bill was in one of his pity parties, and he had just taken his sponsor, Ebby, to a care home. That's where Ebby spent the last 2.5 years of his life. And he was feeling sorry for himself, and he started wondering if, on balance, if his life had been any more effective than Ebby's. Well, I felt like saying, bullshit, Bill. I wound up writing Ebby's biography, by the way, and I felt gratitude to him. He had a lot of trouble in his life, but he was also the guy who sponsored Bill Wilson. And don't ever forget that. I feel we should be grateful to anybody that had anything to do with getting this program launched and keeping it going. And Ebby did his part. I can't think of anything else that I wanted to. I had a song that I sang today, and I didn't finish it. And I wonder if I, with your permission, if I could go ahead and. You'll have to come later to hear it.
Thank you, Mal. Ready to hear from George C., Hayward, California, 52 years.
Hello. I'm George. I'm an alcoholic. I'm not going to sing because I don't know any songs, but They told me I got a few minutes to talk, so I better start to use them up. My sobriety date is June the 2nd, 1963. ...52 years of sobriety. Go to the In-Between Fellowship. We got a lot of in-betweeners up in the balcony there. In Oakland, California, we got some people here from Oakland. But if I don't say anything else, I want to say this. I love being sober. I could say my name better than anybody in this whole lousy, stinking world. When you feel good about yourself, you can say your name, you know. But today, as I stand here and I think about how hard it was for me to get here, it took me 2 years to get sober. But there was a guy at the In-Between, you know what he told me? He said, George, once you get it, can't nobody take it from you. I love that. But you know what I didn't love about myself before I got sober? I used to see people do things and I wanted to be like them. I didn't know I couldn't dance till I sobered up. But I used to try. I couldn't talk. Then I found, I'm from that white port and lemon juice era. You know, that's where you mix white port wine and some lemon juice. And everybody who tried that is probably in the audience now, you know. Because that's what it did to you. You know, when I drank that white port, I could dance. I could talk. I could be the light of the show, you know. But I didn't like what happened afterward. White port and lemon juice make your head hurt so bad till you have to hold back to look straight, you know. So today, I don't need that. I just need, you know, what I hear every time I go to the meeting, when they say, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. What great odds those are, you know. All I have to do is follow path. You know, I can remember being at a meeting, and I heard this guy had this ungodly number of years, and I was waiting to hear him speak because I thought magic was going to fall out his mouth. And when he got ready to speak, then no damn magic come out his mouth. He just talked about the program. But you know what I learned from that? Most importantly, with all of that sobriety, he was at a meeting. You know, people always ask, how long you have to go to the goddamn meeting, you know. And thank God for them. You know, that's where I get my salvation. I happened to be at another meeting, and I was judging this guy because he was a little ragged, little dirty, little unshaven, and I knew that there was nothing he had to say that would be worthwhile. Well, at the beginner's meeting, and probably all beginners meeting, they save a few minutes so that these people can talk. What this guy said kind of took my head off, because what he said was this. The thing that had kept him sober for the past 2 months, which was more time than I had at the time, that he was willing to go to any lengths. So from that day to this, I knew if I was going to stay continuously sober, I would have to become willing to go to any length. So today, I have a great life. I can remember the first year that I was sober. I was saying, I ain't going to tell nobody I almost got a year because I still didn't trust you AA people. And I was just going to meet, and I said, when my birthday come, I ain't going to say nothing. Well, about 3 days before I was going to have a year, this guy asked me, hey, George, you're close to a year now, huh? And I said, yeah. And from that day to this, you know what I knew? That you people cared and supported, you know. So to me, what a wonderful, wonderful life. I've had a great, great time being sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, tonight I was telling Larry, who Larry is one of the people I sponsor, and if you ask him, say, pick the subject for tonight, you know what it's going to be? Gratitude. He always talk about gratitude. And I used to think, it must be something else that he know about other than gratitude. But, you know, when I think about it, I'm glad, because it helps me to remember what I was like and what happened and what I'm like now, you know. Wonderful, wonderful life. So the one thing that this program does for you, if you keep coming, keep going to them damn meetings, keep practicing the principles, the steps, and the tradition, you'll change. You'll change whether you know it or not. I can remember this one day I come back from the in-between. And a fella named Mr. Pat, he was my next door neighbor, he was out trimming his hedges. And so it was a nice, beautiful, sunshiny day. And I decided to walk over and talk to him for a minute because I felt good. And I walk over to Mr. Pat, and before I could say anything, he started talking to me. And you know what he told me? He said, "Hey, George," he said, "I'm glad your wife married you. Said that other guy she had, he was a mess." Well, I didn't know what he was talking about. To this day, I'm the only husband my first wife ever had. I just been notified that it's time to close, and I close with this right quick. You know, the guy told me when I was drinking so bad, he said that if you keep drinking like you're drinking, you're going to end up in Alcoholics Anonymous. You ought to go down there and see him. I'm glad I come seeing you.
Thank you, George. And now we're ready for our last speaker, Pete G. from Rochester, Minnesota, with 53 years.
Hi, everybody. My name is Pete, and I'm definitely an alcoholic. Tradition 3 group of Alcoholics Anonymous in Rochester, Minnesota is my home group. I have sponsees here with me this evening, as well as friends from my group, as well as friends that I've just met. And they've all mentioned to me the last couple of days, "I'll say a prayer that your name is drawn. I thank you for your prayers." I went to my first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in 1957. My father was a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, and he took me and my wife to a open beginners meeting. With pride, I say the chairman of that meeting was Bob T., a former delegate of our area. And it was a good meeting, and I'm sure he shared fine words of wisdom. But my mind that evening was closed. They didn't have detox centers then, and as I looked around the room, there was one fellow shaking tremendously, and his wife was wiping the sweat of his forehead. And both me and my wife, when we left that meeting, agreed that I was not at that stage, nor did I have that serious a problem. So I went out for 2 years, and came back to another meeting. A fellow by the name of Louie answered a 12-step call and came to my home. And, you know, if he hadn't come, I don't know if my mind would have ever reached the mental stage of surrender. I might have lost my life. But Louie came that night and shared his story and took me to my second meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I continued attending meetings weekly for 2.5 years, admitting the first step of powerlessness. But when I look back, I could not swallow it. I could not accept the first step. And for 2.5 years, as I continued to attend meetings, I continued to relapse 6 or 7 times. I really wanted what they had, but I couldn't grasp it. Today, I realize that I hadn't totally surrendered and totally accepted my illness. I'm grateful to say that on February 25th, 1962, God, as I understand Him, brought me to a surrendering state of mind, and the program and my sponsor started to work in my life. I knew of a God and had an understanding of a God before I come to Alcoholics Anonymous, but I knew I was bankrupt with the God that I understood. But when I walked through the doors of Alcoholics Anonymous and after I surrendered on that February day, I realized today that the God that I didn't have faith in before I got here worked in my life because He brought me to the doorways of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that understanding of that God has come more clarity each day that I've been sober and been present in Alcoholics Anonymous. Many God things have happened in my life. Not necessarily important at the time when I look back, they were God things. Like in 1965, I attended my first international conference and had the opportunity to shake the hand of Bill W. I'm very grateful for that opportunity. I have been fortunate to be able to attend 9 international conferences. When I came into sobriety, my wife was active in Al-Anon, and that woman and I were married for 53 years, 4 months, and 2 days when the good Lord took her to where she deserved to be. Heaven, as I understand it. Thank you. We had 7 children I was blessed with, and I still have 5 of those children with me today. I'm very grateful to say my oldest son is with me, my oldest daughter, and my son-in-law. And excuse me. God seemed fit a little over 3 years ago to introduce me to another woman. And He showed me a new life and showed me that lady, and we were married a little over 1.5 years ago. God has been good to me in all walks of my life. I cannot tell you the amount of gratitude I have in my life, and it is certainly a gift of His to allow me to be here tonight to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope with you, and I thank you very much for listening.
Much, Pete, and let's now thank all of the old timers that spoke tonight. Please. Now let's close this old-timers meeting with a universal prayer adopted by early AA members and repeated in meetings today throughout the world, the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, please take your seats. Would everyone please take your seats? Thank you. Let's each pause for a moment to reflect on how the AA message of hope and recovery first came to us. As Bill describes, it was a bleak November. It was probably cold. But can you imagine cold right now? The unpleasant weather didn't stop Ebby from showing up on Bill's doorstep. Bill did not know the purpose of Ebby's visit, but Ebby did. Ebby was a man on a mission, and he carried precious cargo, a message of hope for a hopeless human being. Bill described it as a simple talk. It ignited a spark within Bill, who began sharing a simple set of principles and actions with other drinkers. It was that spark that inspired Bill to seek out other alcoholics in the months that followed. In the lobby of the Mayflower Hotel in the spring of 1935, barely 6 months sober, what saved Bill was not his fear of future consequences if he drank, nor the memory of his own past suffering. What saved him was that spark of concern for others. What about those other alcoholics, Bill thought. And that led him to the payphone. That thought led to the fateful meeting with Bob. That thought led both of them to Bill D., alcoholic number 3. And that thought has led to over 2 million alcoholics in more than 170 countries. And that thought led to our humble gathering today. What about those other alcoholics? The growth of AA might be likened to a domino effect, except unlike dominoes, our chain is not a series of objects falling. Instead, it is a story of spirits rising. An unbroken chain of love, service, and spiritual sacrifice that continues today through you.
Hi, my name is Danielle. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm the greeter for my home group.
My name is Lucho, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm the coffee maker for my home group.
My name is Carmela. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm the special needs chairperson for my district.
My name is Hernan. I'm an alcoholic, and every Friday night, I bring an AA meeting into a psych ward.
My name's Linda. I'm an alcoholic. I take meetings to detox.
My name is Francois. I'm an alcoholic, and I started an AA group in my village.
My name is Lisa. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm the GSR for my home group.
My name's Antonio, and I'm an alcoholic and the local chairperson of a CPC committee.
My name's Adonis, alcoholic. I'm the alternate GSR for my home group.
My name is Dorothy, and I'm an alcoholic. I take medical students to open AA meetings.
My name is Paul, and I'm an alcoholic, and I sponsor men in Alcoholics Anonymous.
My name is Joy, and I'm an alcoholic, and I sponsor women in AA.
My name is Eric. I'm an alcoholic, and I am the treasurer for my home group.
My name is Vidya. I am an alcoholic and I serve as the archivist for my area.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm an alcoholic. I am currently serving as the Grapevine and Lavinia chair for my area.
My name is Svetlana. I am an alcoholic. I am the intergroup rep for my group.
My name is James. I'm an alcoholic and I signed up for the Corrections Correspondence Service. Now I can carry the AA message through the mail to alcoholics in prison.
My name is Kelly. I am an alcoholic and I'm currently serving as the DCM for my district.
My name is Robert. I'm an alcoholic and I'm a secretary in my home group.
My name is Mary. I'm an alcoholic and I get to serve my area as delegate.
My name is Susan and I'm an alcoholic. I am on the local 12-step call list.
Good afternoon. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Jay. I do whatever needs to be done at my home group.
My name is Al. I'm an alcoholic. I'm on a remote communities committee and carry the A message into a First Nations community in the north. It takes me 36 hours to get there, and I'm so grateful for this journey and service.
Now let us acknowledge the wonderful collective spirit of love and service of AA members who have made it possible for each of us to be here tonight. Your shining examples of service continues to bring glimmers of hope to other alcoholics near or far. Now, would all members who have been or are currently greeters for their group please stand? Okay. Give them an applause. Okay. Thank you. And you can be seated, please. How about those of you that have answered phones at central or intergroup offices? Would you please stand? Now we'd like to see those of you that have set up chairs or made coffee for your home group or a group. You stand. Hey. There's many of you. How about taking an AA meeting into a correctional facility, treatment, or detox center? And those serving on a CPC or Public Information Committee, you stand. And those of you that have served or are currently serving as GSR, DCM, or Area Committee Member, you stand. And those of you involved in writing to members behind the walls in the Correctional Correspondence Service, you stand. Thank you. And this should be a big one, sponsoring other alcoholics. Yeah. Wonderful. They're all around you. Thank your neighbors. Involved with special needs, those stand. Okay. And how many of you have been on 12-step calls, the 12-step call list, or taking speaking commitments to a meeting? All right. And those of you that have served as a group chairperson, secretary, or treasurer, stand. Okay. How about serving as a literature chair for a group or a committee? Okay. All right. Would all members who currently or in the past have been a Grapevine, a Lavinia, or work on a local A newsletter or bulletin, please stand. Okay. What about those of you that have participated in the Loners or the Internationalist, the Homers meeting? Please stand. Okay. And I know we have a number in the room today, World Service Meetings or Zonal Delegates. Okay. Look around you. You'll see many of them. Good. Now, will everyone please be seated? Now, all of you who have helped another alcoholic, please stand. I believe that we have really covered most of the services, but if not, please know that we extend our great gratitude to each one of you for serving Alcoholics Anonymous. And now, before we say goodnight,
amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already I first believed. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see.
Thank you.